This is now my fifth session on the subject of biblical eldership. The first.
Ya, sesi kelima mengenai topik kokolot menuntunkan Alkitab.
And the first three sessions were given primarily to the elders themselves and their job function.
Terus sesi ngawitan utamina ngabahas mengenai para kokolot sareng tugas aranjeuna.
In session number 4, I begin to dig more deeply into the subject of the fivefold ministry.
Dina sesi ka-opat, ngenaan ngagali langkung jero, ngenaan kalima bidang pelayanan.
We read the scripture in Ephesians 4 that teaches these five ministries were given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Orang ngaos, Efesus 4 anu ngawulang kalima bidang pelayanan ieu dipasikeun ka Gusti Yesus Kristus ngalira.
It teaches that these ministries were given when he ascended on high.
Ngawulangkeun yen pelayanan-pelayanan ieu dipasihkeun waktos anjeunna munggah ka manggung.
The scripture teaches there that the fivefold ministries are needed until we come to the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Pangalihkeun Gusti ngawulangkeun yen kalima bidang pelayanan ieu diperjogikeun dugi ka urang sadaya tiasa tumuwuh salius sareng kapinuhan Kristus.
We need the five ministries until we come into the unity of the faith.
Orang meriokikan kalima bidang pelayanan dugi ka orang sadatiasa ngahontal ngahijina iman.
I also taught that Jesus was all five of these ministries.
Abdi oge ngawulang yan Yesus teh ka lima bidang pelayanan iya.
The Bible teaches he was apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and prophet.
Alkitab ngawulang yan anjana teh rasul, juru injil, gembala, guru, sareng nabi.
And so I taught extensively on the subject of the apostolic ministry.
Kita nabi ngawulang langkung lega deui ngenaan pelayanan rasul.
Now I go to the ministry of the prophet himself.
Ina abdi bade neraskeun kana pelayanan nabi.
I'd like to make some explanation first.
Kita abdi bade masihan sababaraha katerangan.
There's a difference between a person who can prophesy by the gift of the Spirit and a man who is an ordained prophet.
Aya perbedaan di antara wisnu tiasa norah kumargi karunia roh sareng saurang nu disahkeun janten nabi.
In 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter we read about the gift of prophecy.
Nah, di Korintus pasal 12 orang ngaos ngeunaan ngawejangkeun pangandika Allah.
1 Corinthians 14 teaches us about the exercising of the gift of prophecy.
Di Korintus pasal 12 ngawulangkeun ka urang ngeunaan kumaha ngawejangkeun pangandika Allah.
When the apostle Paul came to Ephesus he found there certain believers or disciples.
Rasul Paulus dongkap ka Efesus anjeunna mendakan di dinya jalmi-jalmi percanten utang tu sareng murid-murid.
They knew only the baptism of John.
Namung terang baptisan Yohanes.
The Apostle Paul taught them properly.
Rasul Paulus ngawulang aranjeuna anu pas.
And then they were baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Aranjeuna dibaptis ku Roh Suci.
And they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Aranjeuna nyaras ku bahasa roh sareng ngawejang.
This did not make them prophets.
Paulus ngajantenkeun aranjeuna nabi-nabi.
People who are not prophets can prophesy by a gift of the Spirit.
Jalmi nu sanes nabi tiasa ngawejang ku karunia Roh Suci.
Let me emphasize the Holy Spirit himself gives the gift of prophecy.
Jeung abdi nekankeun yen Roh Suci nyalira anu masihan karunia ngawejang.
But Jesus the Son of God gives the gift of a prophet.
Aing Yesus Putra Allah masihan karunia janten saurang nabi.
Romans 12 speaks about the gift of prophecy.
Roma 12 nyeres ngenaan karunia ngawejang.
And we're to prophesy according to the proportion of our faith.
Urang baris ngawejang saluyu sareng tingkat iman urang.
With the gift of prophecy, we can speak to people for comfort, exhortation, and edification.
Ku karunia ngawejang urang tiasa nyarios ka jalmi-jalmi kanggo ngahibur, masihan nasihat sareng ngadidik.
Now we're speaking of the ministry of a New Testament prophet.
Urang ayeuna nyarios ngeunaan pelayanan nabi dina perjanjian Enggal.
This ministry is exemplified in a prophet named Agabus, and we'll read about him now in Acts 11, verses 27 and 28.
Contoh pelayanan ia ditujukan ke seorang nabi namina Agabus, orang baris ngaos ngenaan anjena dina syarius pada mata rasul, pasal 11, ayat 27, 28.
Acts 11, 27.
Syarius pada mata rasul, 11, ayat 27.
During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch.
Sajroning kitu aya nabi-nabi ti Yerusalem adongdon ka Antioquia.
One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius.
Saurang anu ngaranna Agabus kasarapan roh nyebatkeun jeung bakal aya paila hebat nu bisa kulah dunya. Ramalana teh bukti kajadianna keur jaman Prabu Claudius.
Agabus is clearly identified as being a prophet.
Jelas pisan Agabus dikenal salaku saurang nabi.
He came from Jerusalem.
Ajana dongkap di Yerusalem.
One of the most important things about his prophecy is that it came to pass.
Hiji hal anu paling penting ngeunaan wejangan anu parantos dibuktoskeun.
He was predicting the future.
Ajana nuju ngira-ira ka payuna.
This goes past the usual use of the gift of prophecy by the Holy Spirit.
Ia ngagunakan karunia ngawejang ku Roh Suci.
He predicted future events that in fact came to pass.
Anjeunna ngira-ngira kajantanan-kajantanan nu baris dongkap nu aya kabutoksna.
Also he had a place of origin.
Nu kawitna jelas.
He came from Jerusalem.
Anjeunna dongkap ti Yerusalem.
I'd like to read another scripture here in Acts 15 verse 32.
Abdi bade ngaos pangandika sanesna ti cariosan para mangrasul rasul pasal 15 ayat 32.
Acts 15:32.
Darius pada melantas Rasul 15 ayat 32.
Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers.
Tatrasna Judas jeung Silas anu oge cara di nabi ngasihatan ku pituah-pituah anu matak nguatkeun iman.
A great meeting had just occurred in Jerusalem.
Hiji sidang anu ageung nembe kajantanan di Yerusalem.
The apostles and elders had come together to consider a very critical doctrinal matter.
Rasul sareng para kokolot parantos kempel kanggo nyaoskeun masalah doktrin nu kritis-kritis pisan.
Some of the Jews were saying that the new converts had to be circumcised in order to be saved.
Baraha urang Yahudi nyarios yen jalmi-jalmi nu nembe percanten kedah disunatan supados disalametkeun.
A great controversy arose concerning this critical subject.
Iji kontroversi ageng aya kumargi poko nu kritis ieu.
They came to a place of resolution concerning this.
Arajeuna nyanda kesimpulan ngeunaan ieu.
And Jerusalem sent messengers with letters to the churches telling them of their conclusions.
Yerusalem ngintun padamel sareng serat-seratna ka gereja-gereja masihan terang ngeunaan kasimpulan arajeuna.
So now we read in this verse of Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets.
Janten ayana urang ngaos dina ayat ieu yen Yudas sareng Silas teh nabi-nabi.
In this instance they were not just prophesying but they were encouraging and strengthening the brothers.
Contohna aranjeunna henteu mung saukur ngawejang nanging aranjeunna ngadorong sareng ngiatkeun saderek-saderek saiman.
They did this with preaching and teaching.
Panjenengan khutbah sareng ngawulang.
In our church in Anchorage we've invited in men who are prophets.
Di gereja abdi, abdi parantos ngulem nabi-nabi.
We just say to them, do as you feel the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to do.
Aranjeunna lakukan salu sareng pamimpin Roh Gusti salu sareng anu ku saderek daoskeun.
We're putting no pressure upon you to prophesy.
Abdi henteu nekeunkeun saderek kangge ngawejang.
If you want to preach the word of God as did Judas and Silas, go ahead and do that.
Pamimpin saderek hoyong ngadugikeun pangandika Gusti sapertos Judas sareng Silas mangga lakukan bae.
If God moves upon you to prophesy to some person, do that.
Pamimpin Gusti ngagerakeun sareng kanggo ngawejang ka sabaraha jalmi lakukan eta.
If God moves upon you to prophesy to the whole congregation, do that.
Pamimpin sareng digerakeun ku Gusti kangge ngawejang ka sabaraha jalmi lakukan eta.
Because we find that prophets do more than just prophesy, they also have the capability of preaching and teaching the word of the Lord.
Mereka ningali yen abdi-abdi ngalakukeun eta langkung ti saukur ngawejang, aranjeunna oge tiasa kutbah sareng ngawulangkeun pangandika Gusti.
Judas and Silas were sent from Jerusalem with the letter.
Judas sareng Silas diutus ti Yerusalem ka serat eta.
And they also went back to report about what had happened.
Aranjeunna uih sareng laporan naon anu parantos di kajantenan.
Later on, Silas was a person that traveled with Paul the Apostle.
Katianakeun Silas ngayakeun perjalanan sareng Paulus Rasul.
And so it was Paul the Apostle traveling with a prophet named Silas.
Kitu deui Paulus Rasul ngayakeun perjalanan sareng seorang nabi namina Silas.
In that notable event when they were in the Philippian jail, it was an apostle and a prophet together.
Dina peristiwa nu dicatat waktu aranjeuna araya di lebet penjara di Filipi, aya saurang rasul sareng saurang nabi sasarengan.
And they sang praises to God at midnight and God delivered them.
Aranjeuna ngawihkeun pujian ka Gusti tengah wengi Gusti ngabebaskeun aranjeuna.
But I want to emphasize again is that Judas and Silas were sent from Jerusalem and went back to Jerusalem.
Anu baris ku abdi ditekankeun di dieu nyaeta yen Judas sareng Silas diutus di Yerusalem sareng uih ka Yerusalem.
I believe these five ministries should be related to local churches.
Abdi percanten ka lima bidang pelayanan ieu sakedana aya hubungan sareng gereja-gereja lokal.
Each of these five ministries has a certain amount of authority right in the ministry.
Masing-masing ti lima bidang pelayanan ieu ngagaduhan sajumlah hak kawasan utangtu dina pelayanan.
But they also need to be men under authority.
Aing aranjeuna oge kedah janten jalmi-jalmi di handapan kawasa.
If I encounter a man that says he's a prophet and has no identity with the local church, I question that.
Umpami abdi pendak salah saurang nu nyarios anjeuna saurang nabi sareng henteu janten anggota gereja lokal, abdi nanak naros kenana.
It's not just for me to judge the man, but I have the right to question him if he's not identified with a local church.
Abdi bade ngahakiman eta jami, neng abdi gaduh hak kangge naroskeun anjeuna, naha anjeuna teh henteu kakait sareng gereja lokal.
Just like Agabus and Judas and Silas were sent from Jerusalem, I would ask them very kindly, who sent you?
Kami sapertos Judas sareng Agabus oge Silas dikintun ti Yerusalem, abdi bade tumaros ka aranjeuna dareh deh pisan. Saha anu ngutus satere?
Just recently I was watching a video of a man that was doing extensive prophesying.
Nembe-nembe ieu abdi nuju nyaksikeun video ngeunaan saurang anu ngawejang secara luas.
My first questions are, who sent you and to whom are you responsible?
Patrosan-patrosan abdi nu ngawitanya eta saha nu ngutus saderek sareng kasaha saderek tanggal waler.
I am personally responsible to the elders of the church in Anchorage.
Tapi badi abdi tanggal waler ka para kakolot di gereja abdi.
And so these three names, Agabus, Judas and Silas, are representative of the ministry of a prophet.
Dan tilu nami Agabus, Judas sareng Silas ngawakilan pelayanan saurang nabi.
There were many prophets in the Old Testament.
Saur nabi tina perjanjian lami.
But also several prophets in the New Testament.
Nanging aya uge sababaraha nabi tina perjanjian Enggal.
It is written that there were prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch.
Aya disebut yen aranjeunna teh nabi-nabi sareng guru-guru di gereja Antioquia.
This is when the Spirit of God spoke to the church to send Saul and Barnabas out to become apostles.
Itu waktu Roh Allah nyarios ka gereja kangge ngutus Paulus sareng Barnabas angkat salaku rasul-rasul.
Now none of us know exactly how the Holy Spirit spoke on that occasion.
Dan teu aya saurang oge di antawis urang terang ku cara pas kumaha Roh Suci nyarios waktu harita.
I personally do not know definitely just how the Holy Spirit elected to speak.
Secara pribadi abdi henteu terang nupas kumaha Roh Suci milih kangge nyarios.
But a very momentous thing was about to happen.
Hiji hal anu penting nangtukeun baris kajantenan.
It was going to affect the life of that church.
Eta baris mangaruhan kehidupan gareja.
It was going to affect the life of Saul and Barnabas.
Eta baris mangaruhan kehidupan Paulus sareng Barnabas.
It would seem logical to me that the Lord would use one of these prophets to speak that word.
Katikane logis kanggo abdi yen Gusti paris nganggo salah sahiji nabi-nabi ieu kanggo ngucapkeun pangandika eta.
I'm very glad that God chooses to use a person like I mentioned just there.
Abdi bungah yen Gusti milih kangge nganggo salah saurang sapertosku abdi disebutkeun.
I'm glad he's chosen to use a man like Ananias to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus when he had been smitten down.
Abdi bingah, anjeuna parantos milih saurang pamegat naminan Ananias kanggo nyarios ka Saulus di Tarsus waktos anjeuna dihantem.
But in these heavy situations like there in Antioch, I would believe in my heart that God would choose to use that prophet or one of those prophets to speak into that occasion.
Neng dina kayaan-kayaan nu abot ieu sapantos di Antioquia, abdi percanten dina manah abdian Gusti baris milih kanggo nganggo nabi atau nabi salah sahiji nabi kanggo nyarios kana kajadian eta.
In this occasion, The word was coming to the whole church. But the Lord also uses the prophets to speak to other persons individually and singularly. The same man Agabus spoke a word to the Apostle Paul. He did demonstrate it by binding his hands with Paul's belt. If you read the Word of God carefully, he didn't tell Paul what to do after he gave the prophecy. After the prophet gives the prophecy, it's not incumbent upon him to make sure it's fulfilled. The Apostle Paul elected to go on to Jerusalem even though Agabus had said not to go. I mentioned in session number 4 that in our church in Anchorage we had a man who was an ordained prophet.
Tapi nyebutkan di sesi nomor 4 yang di gereja abdi aya saurang pamengket nu ngalayanan salaku saurang nabi.
He's now with the Lord.
Ayeuna anjeunna parantos sareng Gusti.
He worked beside me for many, many years.
Narengan abdi puluhan tahun.
He was a prophet and also a pastor at heart.
Anjeunna saurang nabi sareng ngagaduhan manah gembala.
I am presently living in Tacoma, Washington. I am attending a church there, one of our own outreaches. The man who is the lead minister in that church is ordained both as a pastor and a prophet. I've seen him used powerfully as a prophet. Just recently, our church has had a conference in Washington. We had a time of the laying on of the hands of the elders. This man that I mentioned a few moments ago was both a pastor and a prophet, was used of God to speak the very first utterance.
Samangkat nu ku abdi disahkeun tadi teh saurang gembala sakaligus saurang nabi nu dianggo ku Gusti kanggo ngadugikeun wejangan nu ngawitan.
Our church in Corvallis, Oregon was sending out a team to start a church in Salem, Oregon.
Gereja abdi di Corvallis, Oregon nuju ngutus hiji tim kanggo ngawitan hiji gereja di Salem, Oregon.
They're sending out a team as Jim Feeney has been teaching how to send out a team. The man who was going to be the pastor had gone to Salem and was scouting out the territory. He had looked at a building he thought could possibly be used for a church building.
Anjeunna nuju ningali hiji wangunan anu cocok pikiran tiasa dianggo kanggo hiji gedung gereja.
So he was there sitting in a chair at the front of the meeting.
Enten anjeunna calik di payuneun hadirin.
He was going to be ministered to at our conference there in Washington.
Anjeunna beres ngalayanan dina konferensi abdi sadaya di Washington.
So Prophet Morricade, or Abe Morricade, who is a prophet, spoke to him.
Nabi Morcade atau Nabi Abi Morcade nu saurang nabi nyerios ka anjeuna.
He said the place you are going to be going is going to have graffiti written on the wall.
Saurna tempat nu beres didongkapan teh nyaeta anu aya seratan dina tembokna.
There may be someone lying on the street.
Aya saurang nuju ngagoler di jalan.
Or more exactly, lying on the sidewalk. When he spoke those two words, this potential pastor began to weep. His body began to actually shake with sobs.
Salirana nga derek-dek ku eurih-eurihun.
Because the very building he'd looked at had graffiti written on the walls.
Kumaha gedong nu ditinggalina aya seratan dina tembokna.
And they'd seen a person lying on the street
parantos,
or on the sidewalk.
Geparantos ningali aya saurang nu ngagoler di sisi jalan.
This was a dynamic use of the gift of prophecy.
Eta hiji kurnia bejangan nu digunakeun sacara dinamis.
So when I was with the prophet in Anchorage, I had him working with me.
Patasabi aya sasarengan sareng nabi, abdi ngajak didamel sasarengan.
On some occasions he traveled with me.
Ada beberapa kesempatan anjeunna angkat sasarengan sareng abdi.
In the church that Jim Feeney is now pastoring.
Di gereja anu ayeuna dikembalakeun ku Jim Feeney.
There's a man working with him who is an ordained prophet.
Aya sareng pamegat nu didamel sareng anjeunna nu disahkeun salaku saurang nabi.
And he has spoken words to me that have come to pass.
Anjeunna parantos ngucapkeun pangandika ka abdi anu parantos dibuktoskeun.
So we're talking about things that are actually happening.
Janten urang nuju nyaraskeun hal-hal nu leres-leres kajantenan.
But these are men identified with churches.
Nanging jalmi-jalmi ieu dikenal ku gereja-gereja.
And they're men under authority.
Anjeunna teh jalmi-jalmi dihandapkeun kawasa.
And I praise God for the ministry of a prophet.
Dimuji Gusti ka pelayanan saurang nabi.
Some other things about a prophet I'll just refer to in the scriptures.
Anaan saurang nabi bari situnjukeun ka abdi ngalangkungan ayat-ayat.
In Ephesians the 3rd chapter speaks about God revealing mysteries to the apostles and prophets.
Pasal 3 ieu nyarios ngeunaan Gusti nu nganyatakeun misteri-misteri ka para rasul saurang nabi.
You find them appearing in the book of the Revelation.
Arek bari mendakan dina kitab Wahyu.
They rejoice as the great harlot Babylon is judged. Prophets rejoice.
Alanya suka gembira waktu seorang istri sundal Babel dihakiman. Nabi-nabi suka gembira.
The genuine prophets are still in the church.
Nabi-nabi nu sajadi masih aya di gereja.
And genuine prophets will still be around as these portions of the book of the Revelation are fulfilled.
Nabi-nabi masih aya di sakitaran saparantos bagian-bagian tina kitab Wahyu dibuktoskeun.
Revelation 18 teaches that some of these prophets will be martyred.
Wahyu 18 ngawulangkeun yen sababaraha nabi bari janten martir.
The blood of the prophets is found in Babylon.
Getih nabi-nabi digingingkeun di Babil.
In 1 Corinthians 14 it speaks that their words are to be judged.
Dina 1 Korintus 14 disaurkeun yen kecap-kecap aranjeunna dihakiman.
Let one speak and let the rest judge.
Sabia jalmi sanes nyarios nu sanes nu nganilena.
I have found that real men of God who are prophets have no problem with that.
Abdi mendakan yen jamaah Gusti nu janten nabi henteu kagungan masalah sareng eta.
This man I worked with in Anchorage for these many years was always ready to have his prophecies judged.
Pamagat nu didamel sasarengan sareng anjeunna di gereja abdi salami mangtaunteun osok sayogi umpami wajangan-wajanganna dinilai.
He did not get offended or hurt about this.
Anjeunna teu ngaraos diserang atanapi nyeri hate ngeunaan hal eta.
I believe that the senior minister together with the elders has the prerogative to judge these prophecies.
Abdi pejantan pandita senior sareng para kekolot ngagaduhan hak kanggo meunteun wejangan-wejangan eta.
One of the functions of being a prophet is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Lasajeun gunana nabi nyaeta ngalengkepan para jalmi suci kanggo padamelan pelayanan.
I draw on my own personal experience again.
Dimasian contoh ti pangalaman nabi nyalira.
I am not a prophet.
Abdi sanes saurang nabi.
But we had this prophet with us.
Aya nabi nu sasarengan.
And so there was an inclination for people to speak by the Spirit of God.
Sareng aya kebiasaan jalmi-jalmi nyaros ngatasnamikeun Gusti.
And he helped people to become into that.
Sareng anjeunan lungan nabi jalmi-jalmi kanggo tiasa sapertos kitu.
The 5 ministries equip the saints.
5 jenis pelayanan ngalengkepan jalmi-jalmi suci.
The apostle gives them an apostolic vision.
Rasul masihan aranjeunna hiji visi rasul.
The prophet equips them in the area of his spiritual expertise.
Nabi ngalengkepan aranjeunna dina bidang rohani.
The evangelist preaches the word of God but also teaches them how to win souls.
Juru Injil ngadugikeun pangandika Gusti nanging oge ngawulang aranjeunna kumaha nginginkeun jiwa-jiwa.
And the pastor infuses into the people a shepherding care.
Sareng gembala ngawulang jalan-jalan minganan meratuskeun ngagembalakeun.
And the teacher teaches them so they again can teach others.
Guru ngawurukan aranjeuna dugi ka tiasa ngawulang jalmi-jalmi sanes.
By so doing, they equip the saints.
Cara kitu aranjeuna ngalengkepan jalmi-jalmi suci.
The third ministry of the five ministries I'd like to discuss is the ministry of an evangelist.
Pelayanan nu katilu tina lima widang pelayanan nu ku abdi barisi diskusikeun nyaeta pelayanan saurang juru Injil.
There's only one named evangelist in the New Testament.
Mun aya hiji nu disebat juru Injil dina Perjanjian Enggal.
His name was Philip.
Namina Filipus.
In Acts 6 it looks like he was ordained as a deacon. Jadi
pada saat itu sapalantos anjeunna disahkeun salaku sareng tuyakeun.
But he ended up being an evangelist.
Naing akhirna anjeunna janten saurang juru Injil.
God can change our callings.
Geus tiasa ngarobi panyaurna.
God changed the calling of Saul of Tarsus to be an apostle, the apostle Paul.
Geus ngarobi panyaurna ka Saulus ti Tarsus kanggo janten saurang rasul, Rasul Paulus.
I have studied this word evangelist in the Greek language.
Tapi pantos diajar kecap juru Injil dina bahasa Yunani.
I have before me my definition of what an evangelist is.
Tapi ngagaduhan batasan naon saurang juru Injil teh.
The evangelist is a preacher of the gospel of Christ.
Juru Injil teh saurang nu kutbah Injil Kristus.
He announces the good news.
Anjeunna ngeuarkeun warta susai.
He is a herald of glad tidings.
Anjeunna nu nyeroskeun ngeunaan wartos-wartos nu matak bingah.
And the evangelist can be either mobile or stationary.
Juru Injil tiasa netep atanapi nguriling.
He can travel around or he can stay right in the local church.
Tiasa nguriling atanapi netep di gereja lokal.
I think it's great for an evangelist to be in a local church.
Imbetan abdi saya pisan aya juru Injil di tempat gereja lokal.
We've had evangelists, ordained evangelists in our church for years in Anchorage.
Abdi ngakaduhan juru Injil disahkan di gereja abdi.
Their primary job is to keep the spirit of evangelism moving.
Tugas utami aranjeunna teh nyaeta supaya semangat penginjilan teh teras ngalir.
The evangelist is representing Jesus, the great evangelist.
Juru Injil nuju ngawakilan Yesus, juru Injil nu agung.
It's written in many places where Jesus went around preaching the good news in Galilee and in villages.
Disarat di seueur tempat waktu Yesus nguriling ngadugikeun warta sae di Galilea sareng desa-desa.
But there are those that are not only capable of winning souls, they're gifted by Jesus to be an evangelist.
Hayang aya anu sanes mung nginginkeun jiwa, aranjeunna oge dikaruniaan Yesus kanggo janten saurang juru Injil.
Like I gave the illustration of those who could prophesy by the gifts of the Spirit were different than prophets.
Tapi masian gambaran ti aranjeunna anu tiasa masian wejangan kumariki kurnia-kurnia Roh sanes sareng nabi-nabi.
Those that can go out and win souls are not necessarily a Ephesians 4:11 evangelist.
Aranjeunna nu angkat sareng nginginkeun jiwa-jiwa henteu kedah janten juru Injil anu disebatkeun dina Efesus 4:11.
I believe in this curriculum you'll be hearing the voice of a genuine evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke.
Abdi yakin dina kurikulum ieu sadayak paris ngadangu suanten saurang juru Injil sejati Reinhard Bonnke.
All of your people should be trying to win souls.
Jemaah sarek sakedahna usaha nginginkeun jiwa-jiwa.
But our churches need the gift of an evangelist to inspire them to win souls.
Nging gereja-gereja urang mayukikeun kurnia saurang juru Injil kanggo masihan pandangan ka aranjeunna kanggo nginginkeun jiwa-jiwa.
And the evangelist is also supposed to teach them how to do it.
Sareng juru Injil ugi diharepkeun ngawulang aranjeunna kumaha ngalakukeunana.
He doesn't just challenge them, he teaches them how to do it.
Geus mung sakedar nangtang nanging ngawulang kumaha ngalakukeunana.
As I look at this word for evangelist in the Greek language, I find that the apostle Paul was a preacher of the gospel.
Sabi ningal kecap juru Injil dina basa Yunani, abdi mendakan yen Rasul Paulus teh saurang tukang ngutbahkeun Injil.
His primary gift and grace was that of an apostle.
Karunia sareng anugrahna anu utami teh nyaeta rasul.
But in 2 Timothy the first chapter he speaks of himself as a herald of the gospel, as an apostle and a teacher.
2 Timotius pasal 1 anjeunna nyebat dirinya lira jalmi anu ngawartakeun Injil salaku saurang rasul sareng guru.
I believe it's possible for one man such as Paul to have more than one of the gifts of the five ministries of Ephesians 4.
Abdi yakin kanggo saurang pamegat sapertos Paulus ngagaduhan langkung di hiji karunia ti lima bidang pelayanan dina Efesus 4.
The apostle Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, I believe, to be the primary elder in that church.
Sang Rasul Paulus ngantunkan Timotius di Efesus atau yakin kanggo janten kokolot nu ngawitan di gereja eta.
He gave many instructions in the epistle of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy.
Ayeuna masihan seueur pitunjuk dina surat 1 Timotius sareng 2 Timotius.
In 2 Timothy the 4th chapter in the 5th verse he said, "Do the work of an evangelist."
Dina 2 Timotius pasal 4 ayat 5 saurna, lakukeun padamelan juru Injil.
He told them to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season.
Anjeunna nyuhunkeun kanggo khutbah sae atanapi henteu sae waktosna.
He said, "Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine."
Saurna, nyatakeun salah, tegor, nasihatan ku sagala kasabaran jeung pangajaran.
But he told him, "Do the work of an evangelist."
Nanging miwarang aranjeunna ngalakukeun padamelan saurang juru Injil.
It doesn't sound as if Timothy were an evangelist.
Kadanguna sanes mung Timotius nu janten saurang juru Injil.
But he said, "Do the work of an evangelist."
Nanging saurna lakukeun padamelan saurang juru Injil.
So I urge you pastors, even though you're not ordained as an evangelist, do the work of an evangelist.
Tetapi ngadorong saderek para pendeta sanaos saderek henteu disahkan salaku sareng guru Injil, lakukan padamelan sareng juru Injil.
Just only one man was ever named an evangelist. His name was Philip.
Mong aya saurang nu kantos disebut salaku sareng juru Injil namina Filipus.
I mentioned that a few moments ago.
But I'd
like to draw some truths out of the illustration of his life.
It
appears to me, as I said before, he was ordained
as a deacon.
That was in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts as recorded there. By the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, he is now preaching down in Samaria. And he had a great big meeting going. Many, many people. And signs and wonders were being performed. And great deliverance. It's my thinking that that thing should continue to happen in the ministry of an evangelist.
Mungkin mutanabi hal itu sakedengan teras kejadian di pelayan seorang juru Injil.
But this one man named as an evangelist was told to leave the crowds.
Nain jalmi yang disebut juru Injil ia dipiwarang ngantunkan jalmi seer.
And then go down and minister to one individual.
Sareng kajalan anu mudun sareng layanan seorang jalmi.
I believe I've known preachers who like to preach to crowds.
Abi yakin yen seueur tukang khutbah anu seneng khutbah ka jalmi seueur.
But they don't have too much time for the individual.
Nanging anjeunna henteu seueur waktos kanggo ngalayanan jalmi saurang ka saurang.
I have been in meetings where the preacher has preached to a big crowd.
Abi hadir dina kabaktian-baktian di mana tukang khutbah ngutbahkeunana ka jalmi seueur.
And after the meeting is over, he's suddenly gone.
Kebaktian ringse ngadadak anjeun angkat.
I remember one time I was in a very large meeting here in the state of California. Sambing
ngaluhan hiji kebaktian nu rame pisan di negara California.
A remarkable man of God by the name of David Wilkerson was preaching.
Seorang pamagat Gusti nu luar biasa namina David Wilkerson nu jukotbah.
Instead of disappearing, he stayed there and ministered the individuals.
Pada langit langkung sae anjeunna tetep aya di dirinya sareng ngalayanan jalmi-jalmi saurang saurang.
He stood at the front of the auditorium.
Anjeunna ngadeg di payunan mimbar.
And the people stood in a line.
Jalmi-jalmi ngadeg dina barisan.
That was many years ago.
Puluhan tahun kapengker.
I still remember that.
Adi masih imut kene.
A man of God that had time for the individual.
Allah ngagaduhan waktos kanggo saurang ka saurang.
Pastors should have time for the individual.
Ngagaduhan waktos kanggo pelayanan saurang ka saurang.
Apostles should have time for the individuals.
Rasul-rasul sakedengan ngagaduhan waktos kanggo pelayanan saurang ka saurang.
I believe that Jesus has time for the individual.
Ngagaduhan waktos kanggo ngelayanan saurang ka saurang.
And so Philip had time for this individual, the Ethiopian eunuch.
Dan Filipus kagungan waktos kangge jalmi sida-sida Ethiopia.
The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip.
Suci nyarios ka Filipus.
And here was this man traveling back to Ethiopia.
Seorang pamangkat menuju di perjalanan wisken ka Ethiopia.
It was an opportunity to witness.
Ya, aya kesempatan kanggo nyaksikeun.
But the opportunity was on wheels.
Yang kesempatan eta teh ayana dina luhureun roda.
And so there was Philip running alongside the chariot.
Ya kitu Filipus lompat ka gigireun kereta.
I imagine there are some evangelists that would do that today. But this showed his great obedience. And he won that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, he baptized the man. There was no big church meeting. He didn't make him delay a long time to prove his conversion. He didn't go back to find a pastor to baptize him. He was Philip the Evangelist. And so he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Then it's written in the Word of God that he preached from town to town. I want to be repetitious about this. I praise God for the evangelists that preach from town to town. I praise God for the evangelists that preach from country to country. I praise God for the evangelists that visit your country. I want to be strongly supportive of evangelists. But also I want to say that evangelists again should train the saints in the local church. Like the other ministries that are called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And they're called to build up the body of Christ. I'd like to move on to the ministry of the pastor. Now, this is the ministry most familiar to most of us. I probably will not take as long on this subject as I have on the others. Because it's so familiar to most everyone. One point I'd like to make at the very beginning is God has various ways of picturing His
church.
He pictures us like an army. And we're in the army of the Lord. And we endure hardship as good soldiers. And we have spiritual armor. And we have spiritual weapons. But the Bible also teaches us as being a planting. Paul told the Corinthian church, "You are God's planting."
Orang Paulus ke gereja di Korintus maneteh tanah Allah.
In that instance, then the leaders of the church are often involved in cultivating and in pruning.
Contoh ieu para pemimpin gereja sering kali dina melak sareng panen.
The church is likened unto a building with a proper foundation.
Gereja ieu disamikeun sareng hiji wangunan ku hiji pondasi nu pas.
We're also called the family of God.
Orang ieu disebut kulawarga Allah.
We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. A great picture is that we're the body of Christ, He being the head. But one picture that appears again and again is that we're a flock. When I was raised in Montana, I've seen many flocks. I've seen as many as 3,000 sheep in one flock. I even had a brief time of herding sheep myself. And sheep are not always that intelligent. And I'm a sheep of the Lord myself. I certainly need the great shepherd. And every sheep needs a flock. And every sheep needs a shepherd. It's very plain in Scripture that Christ is the great shepherd. And He establishes an illustration for all of us who are shepherds.
Anjeunna masihan gambaran kanggo urang sadaya nu janten gembala-gembala.
The good shepherd lays down his life.
Gembala nu sae narohkeun nyawana.
The good pastor of a church lays down his life.
Pandita nu sae ti hiji gereja narohkeun hirupna.
In John 10, the good shepherd knows his sheep.
Dina Yohanes 10, gembala nu sae kenal kana domba-dombana.
It's not just a pulpit pew relationship.
Ya sanes mung sakedar hubungan ti mimbar ka pangku gereja.
It's a personalized relationship.
Iti hubungan nu sifatna pribadi.
So we follow Christ, the great example of the great shepherd.
Urang ngiring Kristus contoh gembala nu agung.
I've been teaching that elders share in this shepherding function.
Adi parantos ngawulang yen para kokolot teh kalibat dina fungsi penggembalaan.
All five of the ministries relate to sheep.
Kalima bidang pelayanan ieu aya hubungan sareng domba-domba.
I know an outstanding teacher of the Word of God.
Adi kenal saurang guru nu pinter panganika Gusti.
He says all five should have the smell of sheep upon them.
Kalimana sakedahna ngagaduhan bae domba tina dirina.
Even the apostle Peter was told to shepherd Christ's sheep.
Rasul Petrus diperintahkan kanggo miara domba-domba Kristus.
I'd like to draw your attention to John 21 verse 16.
Abi bari narik perhatosan sadek kana Yohanes 21 ayat 16.
John 21:16.
Yohanes 21 ayat 16.
Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep."
Tar Yesus panguruskeun anak-anak domba kami. Geus kitu, kadua kalina mariksa ka Petrus. Simon bin Jonas, bener maneh nyaah ka kami? Sumuhun Gusti, ka Petrus. Gusti nu langkung nguninga yen abdi nyaah ka Gusti. Saur Yesus, panguruskeun domba-domba kami.
He told Peter to take care of his sheep and to feed his lambs and feed his sheep.
Anjeunna miwarang Petrus kanggo ngajaga, meridahar anak-anak sareng domba-dombana.
Peter was a great man of God.
Petrus teh manusia anu hebat.
Primary preacher on the day of Pentecost.
Dengan khotbah nu ngawitan dina dinten Pentakosta.
Wrote part of the Bible.
Anjeunna nyerat sabagian Alkitab.
Take care of my lambs.
Panguruskeun anak domba-domba kami.
We never get too big to take care of the lowly sheep of the Lord.
Urang teu hebat kanggo ngurus domba Allah nu sederhana.
I want to say all these ministries receive a special grace from the Lord.
Sadaya bidang pelayanan nampi hiji anugerah khusus ti Gusti.
In the last few moments or minutes, I'm going to speak about the ministry of the teacher.
Dina waktos panungtung ieu abdi bari nyarios ngeunaan pelayanan guru.
Jesus places teachers in the church.
Gusti nempatkeun guru-guru di gereja.
Jim Feeney has been teaching here is undoubtedly a God ordained, God anointed teacher.
Jim Feeney nu parantos ngawulang henteu diragukeun deui anjeunna teh hiji guru nu disahkeun sareng diurapan ku Gusti.
Jesus commanded us to teach the gospel.
Yesus marintah urang kanggo ngawulangkeun Alkitab.
In the early church they preached and they taught.
Di gereja anu ngawitan aranyeunna khutbah sareng ngawulang.
There were teachers in Antioch.
Aya guru-guru di Antioquia.
1 Corinthians 12 says God placed teachers in the church.
Di Korintus 12 nyaurkeun Gusti nempatkeun guru-guru di gereja.
Paul also identified himself as a teacher.
Paulus nyebat dirina nyalira saurang guru.
I find the word teacher appearing all by itself in scripture.
Adi maratosan kecap guru muncul nyalira dina Alkitab.
In 1 Corinthians 12, it's teacher or teachers.
Di Korintus 12 ayat guru-guru atau napi guru.
Acts 13, it's teachers.
Di Acts pada Para Rasul 13, ieu teh guru-guru.
Some people want to tell you that the office of pastor and teacher are all together.
Beberapa orang masih terang sadaya kian gembala sareng guru teh hiji jabatan usami.
A man can be a pastor and a teacher, but he can be just a pastor and just a teacher.
Salah seorang tiasa janten seorang gembala atau napi guru, tiasa ugi mung janten gembala atau napi guru.
When some teach that pastor and teacher are just one office, then they make it a fourfold ministry.
Kalau saya nungawulang yang gembala sareng guru teh hiji jabatan, aranjeunna ngajantenkeun opat widang pelayanan.
I repeat in 1 Corinthians 12:28, the word pastor is not there with teacher.
Kali deui tina hiji Korintus 12:28 kecap gembala sareng guru teh aya dirinya.
And Acts 13 verse 1, the word is there teachers without the word pastor affixed to it.
Dina carasan pada melanda rasul-rasul 13 ayat 1 mung guru-guru henteu aya gembala.
Now I ask this question off of my notes, should the fivefold ministries be identified?
Sering abdi ngajukeun patarasan dina catetan, naha kalima pelayanan ieu saena diidentifikasikeun?
We're just going to have them in the church, but we don't know who they are.
Orang mau ngagaduhan aranjena di gereja sedang terang sahang aranjena teh.
I repeat this, that these are not titles.
Jadi ia sadaya sanes gelar jabatan.
They are job descriptions.
Ia sadaya mengrincian tugas-tugas.
I believe in a local church, it's good to know who the pastor is.
Abi percetan di gereja lokal saya umpami kenal sahang gembalana.
He is identified.
Anjena disebutkan.
The elders are identified.
Para kokolot disebutkan.
The deacons are identified.
Para diaken.
In the Bible, the apostles were identified.
Dina Alkitab rasul-rasul disebutkan.
The prophets were identified.
Nabi-nabi disebutkan.
And I believe in this generation we need to know who they are.
Di generasi ayana orang proyeki terang saha aranjeuna teh.
If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward.
Mbak misalnya nampi seorang nabi, salaku nabi, sederek baris nampi buruh nabi.
We have invited other prophets into our church in Anchorage.
Abdi parantos ngulem nabi-nabi sanes ka gereja abdi.
We say a prophet is coming.
Tapi seorang nabi baris dongkap.
We don't just say he has the mantle of a prophet.
Nabi entenya ros jubah nabi.
He may have the mantle, but he is a prophet.
Anjana pangitan kagungan jubah nabi, nanging anjana teh nabi.
So we tell we have a prophet coming.
Enten ku abdi di pasian terang, aya seorang nabi baris dongkap.
And so we receive the prophet in the name of a prophet.
Dan nabi nampi nabi dina sebatan nabi.
And we get a prophet's reward.
Abdi kenging buruh nabi.
Just flowing out of him comes this ministry.
Tabias anjena ngelakukan pelayanan.
And our church and our people are rewarded because we received him because he is a prophet.
Gereja sareng jemaah kenging berkah nu sae kumaliki abdi nampi aranjeuna anu saurang nabi.
If we didn't identify him, the people would not know how to receive him.
Pami urang teu kenal nu sanes moal terangan kumaha urang nampi anjeuna.
They honor him as a prophet and receive the reward.
Anjeuna ngahormatan nusalaku nabi sareng nampi buruhna buruhan nabi.
In the 7th verse of Ephesians 4.
Dina Efesus 4 ayat 7.
It says there God has distributed his grace to these several ministries.
Disalurkeun Gusti parantos masihkeun anugerah ka sababaraha widang pelayanan ieu.
Jim Finney has spoken extensively in his sessions about the grace of God in their lives.
Jim Finney parantos nyero seueur pisan dina sesi-sesi ngeunaan anugerah Gusti dina hirup aranjeuna.
Paul identified it as a special endowment for his task.
Paulus nyebat ieu teh anugerah khusus kanggo tugasna.
And those of us in the fivefold ministry are here by the grace of God.
Urang nu aya dina kalima widang pelayanan ieu aya di dieu kumargi anugerah Allah.
We've had the press into the Lord.
Urang kedah nyepeng pageuh Gusti.
But it's God's grace upon our lives.
Ieu teh anugerah Gusti kanggo hirup urang.
And you people viewing this video wherever you are in the world.
Sadek anu nyaksian video ieu di mana bae ayana di dunya ieu.
There are potential apostles among you.
Aya rasul-rasul nu potensial di antawi saderek.
There's potential prophets among you.
Nabi-nabi.
And potential evangelists, pastors and teachers among you.
Juru Injil sareng guru-guru.
Let God reveal their giftings to you.
Sabios Gusti nu nganyatakeun ka saderek kurnia aranjeun.
If you're the pastor of a church, don't let it threaten you.
Pamisare gembala hiji gereja eta ulah dugi ka ngancam saderek.
Get under those persons not to exalt them but to enable them.
Eta sanes kanggo ngagungkeunana nanging supados aranjeuna tiasa.
Work with those people to have them come into the fulfillment of their ministries.
Jamin supados lepet kana kapinuhan atina pelayanan-pelayanan aranjeuna.
And then you'll begin to see the fulfillment of the ministry of Christ in all five ministries.
Sadaya kulis ningali pelayanan Kristus dina ka lima widang pelayanan dibuktoskeun.
I trust that this becomes more than a teaching.
Abdi percanten ieu langkung ti hiji pangajaran.
That will become an experience in your church.
Ya janten hiji pangalaman di gereja saderek.
The church is still here.
Gereja aya di dieu.
And the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is still in the church in this year.
Sekarang pelayanan rasul-rasul, nabi-nabi, juru Injil, gembala, guru masih keneh aya di gereja tahun ieu.
In conclusion, I'd like to say,
selaku kesimpulan abdi bade nyarios,
it's been my privilege to be to share in this ministry to your country and to your people.
Iji hak istimewa abdi tiasa ngabagikeun pelayanan ieu ka nagara sareng jalmi-jalmi saderek.
I appreciate these ministers here that have made this come to pass.
Abdi ngargaan panitia-panitia nu di dieu nu parantos neraskeun.
And the various translators.
Sareng menterjemahkeun.
But most importantly, I thank the Lord for a place in His kingdom.
Bapak Tina, abdi muji syukur ka Gusti kanggo hiji tempat di kerajaan-Na.
God bless you all.
Gusti ngaberkahan saderek sadaya.